Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
So last week, the veteran British pollster John Curtis gave Keir Starmer's Labour Party a 99% chance of forming the UK's next government. So the question we're asking this morning is, what would that mean for us here in Ireland? And I'm joined to discuss this by Professor of British and Irish Politics at the University of Liverpool, John Tong, and also Associate Editor with the Daily Mirror, Kevin Maguire. John, I want to come to you first. And before we get to that topic, that extraordinary news that broke on Friday when Geoffrey Donaldson resigned over those historic sexual abuse allegations. The challenges facing the DUP now, I know you've spoken and written about this in the days since, but there's a call for Edwin Poots to be made deputy leader of the DUP because some in that party believe Gavin Williamson, now the interim leader, expected to become leader, is too liberal. What does that tell us about the party, where it's going and what its concerns are now since Geoffrey Donaldson resigned?
Well, it indicates the DUP is still not settled on whether it should be backing Stormont, backing the deal that Geoffrey Donaldson negotiated. A majority now of the DUP MPs, given that Geoffrey Donaldson is no longer a DUP MP, he's been suspended by the party and is sitting now at Westminster as an independent. That leaves a majority there for the DUP's MPs opposed to the deal that he negotiated, which is an absolutely bizarre position for a party to be in. And now, Gavin Robinson represents continuity, Donaldson, in many ways. He is very, very supportive of the deal that his former leader negotiated. There's zero chance of the DUP pulling out of Stormont this side of that general election, because it wouldn't be a credible position whatsoever, only 2 months after you've gone back in. So in that sense, Stormont is safe. But the problem that Gavin Robinson has is twofold. One is some of his party don't believe in the deal, and secondly, he's defending the DUP's most marginal seat at that general election. If Gavin Robinson was to lose that seat in East Belfast, then that would create a new vacancy and the DUP would be on its fifth leader in less than 4 years. So that is the difficulty or difficulties that the DUP is in at present.
All right, and I think I called him Gavin Williamson earlier. Of course, you said the correct name, Gavin Robinson. Let's leave that topic there, though, because I want to come back to where we began. The Labour Party in government, should that come to pass, Kevin, and Labour have spoken about getting a better trade deal with Europe without reversing Brexit, because they do not want to reopen that Pandora's box. We know that. But what does that look like, getting a better trade deal with Europe?
It looks very hazy and fuzzy, in truth, at the moment, because Keir Starmer doesn't want to fight the old Brexit battle. He's left that. He saw it created divisions for Labour in the Red Wall seats in the north and Midlands of England. So he knows there will be, and there is scheduled, that reconsideration of the deal. And he wants to make gains, but he does not want to spell them out this side of the election, what that would mean. I think the words towards Ireland will be warmer, although there was a real thawing in the UK Conservative Party's relationship over the Windsor framework. But he will certainly be warmer, not least because Irish voters in the UK and Britain traditionally vote Labour. And he'll know he will need Ireland to get that deal. On the question of Northern Ireland, he just does not want to reopen that, and has made quite clear that he considers a unity vote, the border poll, not on the horizon, absolutely hypothetical, the words he said. And he is now he's now pro the union. He would not want to be the Prime Minister who saw the United Kingdom break up, despite in the 1990s, when he was a much younger man, he was instinctively a nationalist.
So, John, anything there that you disagree with?
Very little, to be quite honest. I mean, there's going to be far less of a roller coaster ride that you saw under the Conservative administration, where you had one moment Boris Johnson saying there should be no Irish sea border whatsoever, then doing a surprise deal with Leo Varadkar, then Boris Johnson clearly not really believing in that deal and just using it to try and win the, successfully, as it should be said, the 2019 general election. You'll see greater stability here. You'll see, you know, a continued improvement. You know, Kevin noted the improvement in UK-Irish relations over the last year or so under Rishi Sunak, and certainly post-Windsor framework. That will continue. But Keir Starmer's not going to dramatically change policy. If he was saying that he would take the whole of the UK back into the single market or the EU customs union, that would, you know, in effect, help solve the Northern Ireland post-Brexit trading arrangement. But he's categorically ruled that out, and I believe him. I don't think he would risk that. So it's steady as she goes. Plus, one of Labour's pride and joys, one of the achievements they trumpet more than anything else, is, of course, the Good Friday Agreement. It was a Labour government that introduced it. And so there won't be any deviation. There'll be full adherence to the Good Friday Agreement under Keir Starmer, as with, you know, his Labour predecessors.
Like I did say at the beginning, that nobody wants to touch the Pandora's box of Brexit. But if, John, there is huge economic benefit to be gained from going there, do you think that in time, I mean, not straight after any election, but in time, Labour might broach it?
I think that it would be only via baby steps. Keir Starmer is personally stung in many ways, as well as politically stung, by what happened in terms of Brexit, because, of course, he began to fly the flag of having a second referendum with the possibility of overturning the 2016 Brexit referendum result. And Labour went into the last election with a pretty confusing policy of A, negotiating a better deal, or running a second referendum, and no one was sure. And, you know, that, I think that cost Labour dear. So I don't think Keir Starmer will want to touch it. I think that Keir Starmer will you know, perhaps cozy up slightly more to the European Union, but not in any really discernible sense. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty much steady as she goes. It's certainly not in his first term is he going to risk that.
And so, Kevin, on that, on cozying up to the EU, I mean, what sort of relationships does Keir Starmer have within Europe now that Britain has given up that seat at the EU table?
He and David Lammy, the Shadow Foreign Secretary, who I do believe will be Foreign Secretary, have been making a lot of efforts to meet European leaders, particularly those on the left that you've seen. Macron also doesn't have France. So I think it's all about changing that mood, because there would be enormous economic benefits for Britain rejoining the single market, the customs union, because we know there's a huge economic cost being out. The Office for Budget Responsibility, UK Treasury's official marker of its sums, estimating 4% will be taken off the economy going forward, which is 100 billion plus. But it is the elephant in the room that Keir Starmer wants to dodge to avoid upsetting those voters who were traditionally Labour, but in 2019 switched to Boris Johnson, the Conservatives, in part because of Brexit. So it's all about going along, having cups of tea, coffee, chatting about issues, being warmer on European defence, trying to get common policies, rather than actually doing the real heavy lifting of going back into the single market and the customs union.
Mm-hmm. That line isn't great. We might try to fix that if we can, Kevin. So, John, you spoke about the Labour Party and their pride in the Good Friday Agreement and their respect for it. And both the Labour Party and the Tories have a very long history of working with their ministerial counterparts, both in Fianna Fáil and in Fine Gael. How would Keir Starmer approach a Dublin government if it were led by Sinn Féin?
With some trepidation, I think, because obviously Sinn Féin's core business is now to push for a border poll, and Keir Starmer wants a border poll like a hole in the head, and he really, really does not want one. The former Shadow Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, Peter Kyle, he said that he would publish, if he became Labour Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, he would publish the criteria by which a border poll should be called. You've seen a retreat from that position within Labour since. Hilary Benn has not made the same noises. The current Shadow Secretary of State, who may well become Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, Hilary Benn has not indicated that he will publish the definitive criteria by which a border poll should be called, because remember, only the Secretary of State can call a border poll, and the criteria is not fixed. Is it opinion polls? Is it election results, etc.? So that's one area to look out for. You've probably in Keir Starmer as well got your most pro-union Labour leader since Gordon Brown. That's not saying much. There's only been Ed Miliband since, plus, of course, Jeremy Corbyn, who made no secret of his sympathy for a united Ireland. I think the other area to watch for in terms of differences is that Labour has pledged, in a rare break with bipartisanship with the Conservatives, Labour has said it will get rid of the legacy bill by which prosecutions, the chance of prosecutions for actions committed during the Troubles, will be taken away. Now, Labour's given themselves no wriggle room on that in terms of going back on that commitment. So that will be interesting to watch. I'm not sure they'll get rid of the bill altogether. I think they will keep the Information Retrieval Commission that helps families of victims, but I think they could reinstate the possibility of prosecutions for actions during the Troubles. Remember, Keir Starmer was director, when he was director of public prosecutions, took a keen interest in engaging in prosecutions in relation to Northern Ireland offences. So again, that is one to watch, and that is where a Labour government could make a difference from the Conservatives should it come to office.
Kevin, we'll check if your line has improved, but do you believe that that Northern Ireland legacy bill will be scrapped if Labour come to power?
I do. I wouldn't say 100%, because I know positions can change. A lot have changed in Keir Starmer's leadership. But he was a human rights advisor at the policing board in Northern Ireland. He's always talked about his lasting love for Northern Ireland and the friends he made back then. He keeps now, but he recognises that the Troubles Legacy Bill is hugely controversial. So I would expect it to go now. And Anne Flynn says that is a rare break. But it's, you know, we spoke about the zigzagging in the Conservative approach from Boris Johnson to Rishi Sunak. You just imagine if it was Jeremy Corbyn who was the Labour Prime Minister in waiting rather than Keir Starmer. Well, he'd be looking forward to a Sinn Féin Taoiseach who he'd want to work with. Not the case with Keir Starmer, because I agree, he is very pro-union. Tony Blair, the position was to be neutral. Starmer is not neutral, he is.
All right, we'll leave it there. Kevin's line held up just about to the end. Kevin Maguire from the Daily Mirror and Professor John Tong both joining us on the implications for Ireland of a Labour government in the UK. Now, coming up next, our Waterford librarians are going to be here simply to tell us what they've read lately that they really loved and what we should be reading in the month ahead. That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.